Recording in
the Pasha of Yekasto is one of the most complicated Pashas in Chumash. There's an entire sugya in Kiddushin for Balfa Beis. The Gemara analyzes this sugya. What we're going to do is we'll read the psukim as we are wont to do and come to certain conclusions based on the Pshuto Shel Mikra, and then subsequently we'll examine, hopefully the time permits, the position of three Rishonim regarding this sugya. I'm beginning with the right-hand corner. You have the psukim in front of you on page number one. He said, "Say la milchama alo ivecha, umisana Hashem alokecha biyadecha bishavisa shivyo." The Rashi comments, we're talking about a mechemes of Rishus, not a mechemes mitzvah. Rashi mentions that they don't have bishavisa shivyo in the context of the mechemes mitzvah. So, you know, the pasuk says earlier in Sefer Dvarim that if it's an obligatory war, Zayinamimim lo sechaye kol mishoma. The Torah continues. Now, this next pasuk is very significant. Bira isa bashivya eshes yifas Torah. So, number one, the Torah tells us, Bira isa. What exactly attracted you? The answer is her beauty, her natural beauty. That's what you saw among the captives. Again, the second verb, that's a very critical verb. The reason why you decided to consort with her is number one, beauty. And number two, a cheshek. You had a sensual desire to consort with her. And then, in general, the Torah uses the terminology, I assume we're all familiar with it, of kicha, that's the Gemara Gidinia Kedushin Dabezim and Aleph. What the Gemara discusses, the first Mishnah tells us that a woman can be married to one of three methodologies. The first is Kesef, and the Gemara derives it from Zer Shava, Kicha, Kicha, is the Ephraim. Essentially was involved in negotiating with Ephraim to purchase the Marasa Machpelah. But when the Torah speaks about the language of Kiddushe Kesef, the Lashon Kicha is that which is used. I'll just give you one or two very simple examples. At the end of Hayisara, Eliezer brings back Rivka, the mission that he was deputized by Avraham Avinu, by his master. And then the Torah tells us that she sees Yitzhak from a distance, and then she veils herself. Namely, there was Kiddushi Keset. And then the second expression, Vati'ilo v'isha. As you know, that the Kiddushin has two different segments to it. One is Ersin, one is Nisulin. It's almost embedded in the Pasuk. Vayikach Zimka, Batilo the Isha. And then, when the Rashi Shavuot Hirsch points out, Vayeh HaVeho, true Abba, real Abba.
It's all good.
It's the coming together in some kind of way.
That has already been in place.
Okay.
Abba, marriage is not real. It's not substantive, it's not significant. That's a long essay by Pshimshim Polish. And that we can speak for several hours. It's Milzim Pshita. It's like Pshimshim Shabikra over here in the context of Chayisara. Real Abba only comes about when husband and wife together face life challenges, encounter many different situations, Ben Latov, Ben Lamutov. That's when Abba, because Abba, true Abba, consists of people who are going to engage in, as Rav Dessler Zatzal pointed out, each one is going to treat the other with ultimate chesed, with absolute chesed, with chesed beyond the normal means that people normally, all of us do chesed, but chesed, which is beyond the bounds, is the chesed of a marriage relationship. So here the Torah says, Vayika chesed, God, Nushe chesed, the formal kind of connection, Vatilo Leisha, the Nisuin, and by the other, the Torah speaks about the Lashon Vayikach. In this week's Pasha as well, in Kiseisei, Kiyikach Ish Isha Chadasha. Someone is married. So then the Torah tells us that after marriage, all different types of situations can occur. You have the Torah describes in this week's Pasha, Kiyikach Ish Isha, Uvoy Lehu Sneya. He doesn't like her. The initial act was an act of Kicha, a part of a kind of action. Another question is, will this marriage be on the rocks? Or will this marriage ultimately have some sort of That's after it, which hopefully all marriages will. Or the Torah has in Perek Chaf Dalet. Also, say, ki kachi shishul ro, the one Christian daftes, the one the rise from here, the third methodology, namely living with one's wife. So that's also the Mishnah and Kedusha mentions as well. And then you have situations where you're most in Zachain Be'inov. Does she find favor in his eyes? Does she not find favor in his eyes? A bit later. Ki kachi shishul hadosha, leitzir atzoba. The halach is that the first year of marriage, that one should be misameh his wife. One should be misameh his wife all of one's life. There are 2 days, and I read the pasuk over there. Machon is appreciated. But whatever the case is, here the Torah, and going back to this psukim, tells us. That's Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim, correct. Rav Chaim, actually, someone came to him, and the Kulel Hakira, his marriage take place at one time, is a Rechat Ma'ami, kind of the mentor, is an ongoing Mashush and Mshach. So, Abchaim Soloveitchik asked him, what is your position? He said, my position is an ongoing kind of a relationship. So he said, every Chakira has to have a Nafgimina. So he said, what's a Nafgimina? So Abchaim said, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, V'chein Leiter. Anyway, so here, the Torah describes the Bura Isa. In other words, this was not a simple Ka'ar Kicha. It was a Kicha that was preceded by Bura Isa, by Re'iyah, by Yofi, by Beauty, by Cheshek. And this is clearly not the ideal kind of situation. Then the lakach to the chalisha, unlike all the other places where the Torah speaks of kika. And now the Torah goes on. Here we have a famous machlokes tanoim that the Ramban. It's actually in front of you, but you don't have to read it inside right now. Machlokes is actually that Rashi, the Ramban, all the Rishonim relate to this machlokes. What exactly is the Torah mandating at this point in time? If you read the Pshut El Shomikra, Bahavisa El Tov B'Sefa, you bring her home, V'Gilcha Es Rosha, you shave her head, I'm just translating the Pesukim literally, V'Asasa Sibonela, very unclear what this V'Asasa refers to. Does it mean that her nails should grow long? Or does it mean she should pare her nails, cut her nails? Kiva, very famous Machlokes Tanoim, and different Rishonim weigh in on different positions. What does it sound like? It sounds like there's an entire, the Torah has prescribed, the Torah has articulated an entire methodology of what should happen before he consorts with her, before he lives with her. Namely, he brings her into his home, Gilcha Esrosha, whatever Vasasa means, let her nails grow long, or as I mentioned, pair her nails, and to remove Simla Shibim Yaleh, V'yashvabah Be'secha, she's in her home, U'vachseh Saviyah V'asim Ayarach Yomim, she was literally dislocated from her parents, and for a full month, she's going to be in a kind of Avelus, V'yachar Kein Tovar Adal V'alto V'aisal V'alisha. Torah seems to indicate, but Pshuto Shavikra, that the act of consorting with her only occurs after a month has passed, and nothing happens prior to that. And then, as I mentioned, the two different aspects of marriage. The Torah goes on.
Only serves on past tense, more than a command.
I'm sorry?
These verbs only past tense, was the command.
They're asking you, that's a good ha'ara, very important ha'ara. So it's mashma that, again, if you take a look carefully, as you pointed out, Baha Besa, V'gilcha, V'yasisa, V'hisira, V'yashva, U'vasa, which means that we're talking about a fair amount of time has to pass. The Torah says, Yerach Yom. The Torah speaks about Shoshim Yom. 1 month. But you're correct. And that's essentially what the Torah seems to be indicating, that there's a passage of time and all this is taking place. And then, after all that, the word Valta, as I mentioned before, in the context of an act of Bia. But then the Torah goes on, V'ayam lo chafatz davar. How she has to be treated in this particular Yipas Torah. So I'm simply trying to underscore is a very significant point regarding marriage. This is a marriage that was clearly not set up in an ideal fashion. It came as a result of someone who was attracted to a woman because of her beauty exclusively. And that there's a famous comment to the Vilna Gaon. The Gaon comments to the end of Mishlei. The most famous Bir Agro. The Gaon says, Sheker Achein, Be'ebel Ayefi, Isha Yiras Hashem, Hitzisalo. So the Gaon asks, what is the he? Isha Yiras Hashem, he. What does that refer to? So the Gaon says the following. Chayn in and of itself is sheker. Many people are b'chayn. The Gemara discusses the concept of chayn. Usually chayn is translated as a kind of grace that a person is b'chayn. That's a chayn. Matzah chayn b'ini Hashem. Then that is chayn in and of itself is, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, sheker. Yofi in and of itself is hevel, says the Gaon. But if they're combined with Yiras Hashem, he refers back to those two qualities. Then the qualities of chayn and yofi take on tremendous significance, but only when they combine with Yashamayim. So the Gaon understands a very beautiful pshat. So here, clearly, what we're talking about is Yofi, and more Yofi. Now, Soloveitchik, one of his favorite themes was the theme of beauty, that beauty requires redemption. There's no such thing as beauty without redemption. Beauty without redemption is beauty of the beast. Beauty without redemption is a psukim in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, that the Torah describes that Bnei Elohim saw Benosa Adam Kitov Seina, Vayichulei Noshim Kol Asher Bachoru, and that was not to the liking of Hashem Yisbarach, and there's a lot of Midrashim on those Sukkim and the Ramban there on spot as well. So beauty in and of itself has no value. Beauty only has value to the extent that it can enhance one's Yirat Shamayim, and that is exactly what the Gaon says, and that's exactly what is not taking place over here in the context of Yifas Torah. Soloveitchik spoke so often about this theme that beauty requires redemption. I'll just give you another famous example that he actually utilized many, many times. That undoubtedly, the Torah actually, if you remember, we say Bachinashe or Shodesh. That's a well-known in Tillim, Kuf Dalit. Bachinashe es Hashem, Hashem Elokai, Godalzimo, Ho Gehodel Avoshto. Speaking about the majesty of the universe, the beauty of the universe. The universe has so many wonderful, absolutely incredible qualities to it, and there's no doubt that Chazal felt beauty was significant. Zekei de Yanveyu, the Gemara says, he's not the fun of mitzvahs, the one Shabbos, Kuflam Gimel. He's not the fun of mitzvahs, namely, Aser Lechon, we should have Sukkot Noya, Tefillin Noya, Tzitzis Noya, Sefer Torah Noya. The one who writes Sefer Torah should know, should write in a beautiful kind of way. So there's no question that Yofi plays a role. However, Yofi only plays a role when it's combined together, as I said a moment ago, with Kedusha. It's very fascinating that you also see in Tanakh, as you see throughout Tanakh, you see, for example, in the very description of Abu Zara, they sometimes place Abu Zara under the leafy trees. The tachas called Gibbon Gavoa, the tachas called Eitz Ranan, At So Az Zonah, the Sukkim say in Tanakh. You find often that we're talking about Achzorius cruelty and bestiality and animalistic kind of behavior in a context of beauty, but that context, of course, in effect, doesn't belie the fact that that beauty is, in effect, ghastly. That beauty has no value whatsoever. So the Torah wants us to, yes, utilize beauty. I'll give you another example, the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara says, Yafta Elokim B'Efes V'Yishkan B'Olei Shem, Yaf Yafuso Shal Yafes B'Olei Shem. The Gemara discusses writing a Sefer Torah in a language other than Lashon HaKodesh, writing it in Greek. The Gemara says, yes, because Yofi, which of course is a Greek, feature, you're allowed to be mitargin disakredish the avonis. That's what the Gemara says in the Gila, based on that pasuk. And also the Rambam, Basadigon, the Alevi, unquestionably, they brought in the Yofi of Yafes, the Toch Oleshem. But it has to be Yofi that's founded upon Kedusha. So now coming back to this sukkah over here, that's not the situation that the Torah describes to us. Here the Torah describes to us a situation of Ruah Isa Vashivya, Eishes Yifas Torah. It's pure beauty, pure sensuality. It is literally a situation where there's no Kedusha whatsoever. And even, for example, just to use another mashal that comes to mind, the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. So another Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur that he constantly, five times, he changes his begodim. He goes from Big Day Zav to Big Day Lava, Big Day Zav, Big Day Lava. So even though we're talking about Big Day Zav, which are beautiful garments, externally, in Chitzonius, but deep down, or if you will, the basic garb of the Kohen Yom Kippur is Big Day Lava, Big Day Lava Hapshutin. And we see also in Tanakh with Shimshon and Delilah, again, the same idea that the notion that often a person can dupe himself or engage in duplicity by simply running after the beauty. I'll give you another example. So as you said, many shurim on this topic as well. And the topic when the Torah describes in the context of Noach, that Noach, he plants a vineyard, Vayesh min hayayim, vayishkar, he becomes drunk. Vayishkar v'savano, he's uncovered. He's naked. And now we have the reaction of his children. It's a naked man lying in the street in a drunken stupor. So here, that's how the Torah describes the reaction of Tam, which was a bestial kind of reaction. Masha'en came, of course, the reaction of shame. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara describes that shame was motivated by a sense of ethics. Shame was motivated by tznius. Yefes was motivated by beauty. Yefes acted because it's not pleasing and attractive that a naked person should be lying in the street. So each one of the three had a different kavanah. Cham's kavanah was purely, as I said, a sensual kind of kavanah. A sexual kind of kavanah. As I'll say, Sereslo, Rivo, 2 days in the Gemara Sanhedrin. Mashenkin Yefes was prompted by beauty. Mashenkin shame was prompted by a sense of ethics, almost as if it's a kind of an ethical gesture versus an aesthetic kind of gesture. Those are the different gestures that the Torah describes over there. All this is simply to underscore the psukim over here, namely that the Torah is speaking about Yofi, and that's what Rashi quotes over here, one of the most famous Rashis on page number 1. The Torah here was, why did the Torah permit such a event to take place? It's almost absolutely unconscionable. The Torah would give such a heter, such a dispensation for your fast Torah, says Rashi. And that itself needs separate discussion. It's about the Musa talked a lot about this Rashi. If Hashem did not give us permission to marry her, the fast Torah, he married her the Isa. Avlin Nisar, Sofa the Osona. Inevitably, he's going to hate her. And you see this from Amnon and Tamar and Tanakh. There are so many proofs to this. You saw that I just said over, and then we had ultimate Metzorah Amorah emerges from this relationship. There's a Gemara in the Kedushin. Look at the upper part of page number 1, last 2 lines that I underlined. Tanar Abon Raisa Vashibya, upper left hand corner. It says Rashi Vishah Shibya, Ashen Sabil Ashen Shesish, even if it's a married woman on the battlefield, the Fastoral of Dibra Torah connected Yitzhara. Muto Sheyofu Lisa, Basar Temusos. Shutas, better to eat an animal, basar temusas, as long as it's geshochtin, the animal is geshochtin, but it's a mesukan, it's an animal which is clearly not ideal. The al yochul basar temusas nevelos. As the Torah is telling us, a very fascinating halacha, that's what Rashi says over here, that he was attracted by her beauty, so the Torah permits him to go ahead and indulge, but better in the kalami so should eat basar temusas shutas, which means Basa Misukenis, that's Shochut, even though it's Mos. Nobody says in the Cheska, I believe in Perek Dalit, that he mentions over there that Lova Befi Psar Pigul. So you see, the Torah is apparently giving us a heter for people of Bishas Mukhammad to marry a non Jewish woman. And this heter is obviously a major vitur and part of the Torah, because the Torah knows that most people who are soldiers in battle will not be able to somehow control their Yitzharim. And as a result, the Torah felt it was preferable to permit such a kind of marriage, even though the Torah clearly is not happy about it. Because the shash is that if the lochem, the soldier, in effect, is not given this kind of permission, he will do something which is far worse. I mentioned a moment ago that this Rashi here, you can see Rashi right in front of you, also on page number 1. So Rashi notices the asa sipaneon. So Rashi comments together in Kadesh Tisnavel. All the things that we have done to her are, in effect, this is the position that Rashi takes. Rashi brings the Braisa, the Machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, as I mentioned before, on the term Biyasa Siponeo, Rabbi Elazar says, Takutz, that what one should do here is that one should pare her nails. Rabbi Akiva said, no, that you have to, my nails have to grow in an unsightly kind of fashion, in a nimble kind of fashion. This is Machlokes Haloyim, that the word quotes over here, and the different Rishonim line up with different Haloyim. The Shita of Akiva, as you can see in front of you, and that's the Shita that I just mentioned, that he noted that it says Asiya here, and it says Asiya elsewhere. It refers to Nebo. He also refers to Nebo. She has to be disfigured. She has to be hideous. She has to look ugly. And that's, again, the Brisa Kedushin. The Torah is not happy about this entire situation. The Torah does not at all give any kind of sanction to this situation. And Rashi adopts the position of Rabbi Akiva. That's Rashi's position. And Rashi said the entire series of events that take place over here, starting from Pasuk Yud Beis, V'Habisa, Tov Beisecha, V'Gilcha Esrosh, V'Yosa, Sipaneo, all are designed Linabla, in order she should be Megune in the eyes of this Lochem, in the eyes of this soldier. And that's what Rashi said. That what motivated him, what prompted him, what in effect was responsible for this entire event, his Yetzer Hara that cannot be controlled. As I was bedaid earlier for the Tzukim, Biraisa, Yifastar, Bechashakta, all the wrong motivations for a marriage. And then the Torah said, Malakata Nalisha, this is in contrast to all the Tzukim that I quoted earlier from all of the Torah, which indicate that marriage should not come about as a result of this kind of mindset, this kind of position. Now, the Ramban in Chumash, and you have Ramban over here as well, like Zerach's Ramban for you on page number 2. I'm going to read the whole Ramban, but we'll read part of it. Maybe we'll just mention first one more item in Rashi that's critical on page number 1. Rashi tells us that what happened over here? Are you marrying a shiksa? So what happened? Was there any kind of a gerus that took place? There's a whole sugya. Look at the Rashi on the upper left-hand corner. The Gemara says, Likuchin Geshlaba. The Gemara is in the second segment of the Gemara that's found over here. It says, Lokachta Likuchin Geshlaba. I didn't underline it, but look at Rashi in the second line of the second kind of segment of Rashi. Likuchin Geshlaba says, Rashi Kedushin Tzeksin. The Alpha Mishai Sora Iveres Kochobin. Share Einam is Gayeres Bidaita. Rashi says here, the Geras is not a real Geras. And as a factual, essentially, we're talking about it, even though Kedushin is Chal. Kedushin takes effect. Kedushin is Taifshin. And the question, of course, how Kedushin be Taifshin with the Goya, with the Shiksa? Possibly, it's Chate. The Torah said there's no Kedushin with the Shiksa, with the non-Jewish woman. And she's not Miskaris Midaita. So somehow, what's going to happen over here, that the husband is going to be Mechaiva, as the Ramban writes, Lishmar Das Yehudnis Bal Korcha. It's in Ramban the moment. And we'll notice also, hopefully, we'll see the Shita Sarambam, which really is markedly different. All the others. But let's take a look at for a moment at the Ramban. And the Ramban is found over here, page number 2. Page number 2, you'll see, first the Ramban refers you to the Rakhobas of Tanoim on the upper part of the page. And let's maybe we should just select different parts of the Ramban. First, on the upper part of the page, where the very beginning, Eshet Yepastoar, even though she's not necessarily attractive, but beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. This is the source for that expression. Beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. And furthermore, the Chashak Deva says the Rabban, but she's not the ideal companion, not the ideal marriage partner that one should be involved in. Next Ramban, this Ramban is circled, and the Pesukim days is the Machlokes Tanoim, Rabbi Akiva ben Elazar. What exactly is happening over here? Do we pair our nails, or do our nails actually grow in an unseemly kind of fashion? This is the Machlokes Tanoim, and Ramban, as I said, Rashi Shita is clear. Rashi holds like one of the Tanoim, and Ramban takes the tack, like the Sifrei, but the other Tana, and Ramban says, the Kahani Omer, the third paragraph, Ki Kol Ele Mishpatei Avelos. She's a kind of ovel, and he goes further. She wears big ovel. She sits in your house ki almana. That reminds us of the pasuk in Eicha. Eicha Yoshua Bodad. The Ramban is referring to that context over there as well. And derech avelim, she's literally in shloshim. A kind of shloshim is taking place over here. In Avelus, and the Ramban says, "The Aldasa Vaseinu Shomrim Shakol Lechayres Yafila," and therefore she should be completely and totally a state of Avelus. And he goes on to describe that Valaklal. If he completes this description, Valaklal says the Ramban. It's the last paragraph over here. He kuzek kula babur echweh. Aber Russell, this guy, mechem snapshot the best in Kavishpot. Arei muteres miyad. If she wants to be the guy, to be a true ger. Giora, she can do so. Gamlo, Gamlo, we will offer the Kaka Mpecha Chelitz, Uvasa Savia Vesimon, Bamed Ramur Shal Kibla, or Kibla Leo, if she's the Kabel. So then, of course, she can become, in effect, a full fledged Giora. So Ramban goes on to say, if you look at the left hand column, definitely I underlined it, but she lasts on the Nafsha. She tells her, Kirzona, Vodona, Kichem, Vishmadas, Yudis, Kiam is Gayers, Vodson, Nachriyas, Vishmatera. If she would have volitionally converted, then she's a true Jewess, and then all the dinim that apply to her. She's al Shabbos, she gets Kila, in Tugal Chazit, she'll get Malkus, So the Ramban writes, and this is going to read the Ramban towards the end, and the Ramban quotes the Yerushalmi. I'm going to go for this. It's a lengthy discussion. Look on page number 3, upper part of the page. The Ramban quotes the Yerushalmi in Sadeh. This is the probably most important Yerushalmi quotes over here. And you see there's a head there for Bia Rishona, for the first Bia. That's assuming Kedushin, and the Gemara discussed this question. But the Ramban says, Al Derech HaPshat, that's not Al Derech HaPshat. As we pointed out earlier, what's Al Derech HaPshat? When does the first Bia take place? After the entire month has passed. Simple reading of the text. Yachakein Tova Elam Ba'alto, after this entire process has been undergone by the woman, then the Torah says, Uve Alto, as the Gemara does inclusion of test, that's the book of the Bia, Ki Kachi Shisha Uve Allah. So here the Ramban says, Al Derech HaPshat, Osu Dibol Osu Achi Asala Kalater Azos. However, the Ramban then quotes Yerushalmi, and this Yerushalmi on top of the page indicates there's a heter for Bia Rishona. And he brings Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yochanan, that the Rav comments, Atun Ami Mishayim Rav, Yefas Torah, Lehuta, Lebila Mishayim, Lebad, Ani Eber, Lo Bila Mishayim, Lo Bila Shnira, Lachat, 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 Almost, I would say, a discrepancy between Chazal and the Pshut HaShemikra. Pshut HaShemikra is very clear that all the heter of Bia only occurs after this month has passed. But the Ramban, as I said, brings a raya from the Rechonon that the Derech HaPshat seems to be in one direction. And then we have a Chazal that clearly understood is a heter of Bia Rishona, which is not in sync with the Pshut HaShemikra. And there are a lot of difficulties. I don't have sufficient time to examine the position of the Ramban. It needs an entire shir. I just want to more or less give you a Rashi Prokim, and Ramban goes on to say, Mishilata Menashe, next Ramban on page 3, Avim Sifrei, below the base of Bia, Lo Yadati Imlo Mashihi Yehudiya, if she's now a Jewess completely, Bein Manich Lo Azov Taras Yisrael, Lo Shivat Amo Be'el Aleha, doesn't mean she cannot go back now. Remember Arpa, that Rus Dovkaba, Arpa said, and Nami told her, Yine Shavim Intech, Alamo Be'el Aleha, he's putting that pasuk. Ramban. So the question, what's our status over here? For many, many in the Sukkos of Geiros and Devarim, this is one of the famous sources that's often used because we don't know what our status is. Is this a full-fledged conversion, not a full-fledged conversion? Seems to be a machlokes of Rishonim. Rashi loves clearly, Eina Misgayeres Midaita. Rashi says it was not a full-fledged conversion. Ramban has a sofek, Lo Yadati. He doesn't know. Is she considered to be a full-fledged Jewish? Although Mash Lo Yishalchena, She's not really a full-fledged married woman. She's with him. She's a kind of HSH. Then it goes further. If he so desires that she should be his wife, the other Isha. Let's say he's not interested in continuing this relationship. So this initial act of coming together is what's Koveya, what exactly is going to be her status. So you see that the Rishonim are having a difficult time trying to figure out exactly what our status is. As I said, each of the Rishonim requires careful analysis, which I'm not doing, but I'm primarily interested in sharing with you a Ramban, which is so striking. For years already, I've been very fascinated by this Ramban in Mor Nebuchim. And first we'll read the Ramban and the Mishnah Torah, and then we'll go to Mor Nebuchim. I'll just read a few halachos, and you'll get a sense of what the Ramban teaches on this matter. I'm talking about page 3, the bottom right-hand corner. The Ramban says, Lotin, Chalutzei Tzava, he quotes this halacha, which is found earlier in Dvarim. We want to blame Koltuva, Shalom Adesa. The Ramban tells you when the soldiers come into non-Jewish environs and they capture the area, so they're allowed to eat the veils of trade with some sachazin. This is a payment for holiness. I'll be showing you what exactly the parameters is halacha. That's not my interest right now. And then he goes on to say, V'chei. The Ramban says, part of this somehow range of heter that's given to Jewish soldiers when they're in a state of war, of drinking yayin nesach and the like, V'chei bo'al isha b'giyusam tako yusam. If he can't control his yetzer, he has a right to go and on the battlefield He sees her and he seizes her and lives with her. He can't simply now leave her. But he can't live with her a second time. It's only a hetter of one act of deal. All kinds of preconditions, all kinds of hagbalot. Because there's no marriage with the non-Jew. He has to bring it to his home. And he goes on, but I just want to read one more halacha. Halacha A, the Rambam says, now he tells you that the Torah speaks, he says, come out a discussion about a kohen. Is a kohen allowed to marry a fastoya? Because we know a kohen cannot marry a geiris, kohen cannot marry a grusha, they marry a fastoya. The Rambam passes it, he can, be a rishayna, but he can't marry her because she's a geiris. So the Rambam apparently held she has the status of a geiris. As I mentioned, this is the subject of my hope to rishayna. Ketzad. In Aloha, case of Din Yisrael, be Pastoya, Achweshi Valena be a Rishona, Vigi Yusuf, she's a goy. In Kibla, Liko, Taskan, Yashina, Abdulisha, Gears, and Yak. If she agrees to become a Jew at that point in time, that the Ramban said, then he can go ahead and put her into a mikvah, and she becomes a Jew. As you know, Kibla, Tesha, the Veso, Shoshi, Mirm, Shinem, Mavacha, Sabia, the Chain Bocha, Aldosa, Veda Mona, the Galaxy Quadel, the Galaka, the Dosha, the Lisha Tiskata, the Hino, the Tiba, the Vice, Nipa, Zeroya, he's trying to somehow convince her to become a Geiris. In Kibla Beratzam is Gaia Tavas Vagerim. And Ram goes on to discuss here as regarding this potential possible Geiris and what her status is. I'm not discussing that. That needs a separate analysis of the Sugya and Kedushin in a very careful kind of way. But we see there's a Machlokes Rishonim what her status is. And it's not clear what her status is. Is she a full fledged Geiris? Or she's not. She's simply put in a position where potentially she could become the Geiris. Now I want to show you a Rambam which is so unbelievable and so incredibly striking. Rambam wrote the Ruchim, and it's in the left-hand column. And that really was the ultimate intent of this year. Not so much to examine the Pastora, which this I don't have sufficient time to do it in the proper way. No. Mimashe kol also sefer zeh din the Pastora. The Torah in Rorim has the din of the Pastora. That's the language of Chazal. Somehow the Rambam says that what is to be derived from this Pasha? There's something in the world of Midos that we have to derive. Those who are very didactic, everything they do is of the Mishra Sadin, they're going to derive from this Pasha a very significant, very important and really critical element that has to do with Midos. So, Abba Bishigama Yitzhak, he's simply out of control. He can't, not able to put on the brakes. Number one, he can't go on the battlefield and simply go ahead and do as he wishes. But rather, who am I? It has to be done with a sense of sneers. The thing also, though, Baskal Shil Hatzel Bin Muhammad Kamashibiyaro. He has to wait till she's able to somehow come back to herself. She's obviously in a kind of hypertension in some respects. Certainly, she was snatched or seized, if you will, and now he has to, after consulting with her one time, has to give her a chance to recover and to somehow be in a kind of state of avelus and psychologically to return to herself. And that somehow we should be able to calm her. What's the norm for such a woman who is detached and dislocated and completely severed from her parental home and from her environment and from her audience? We have to give her a chance, literally, to do that which is natural, namely, avelos and crying. When an avel cries, an avel is able to vent. And Abel is able to express his emotion. That's something which is psychologically healthy, said the Rambam. Because whenever something of a very momentous nature occurs, something of great emotional import, and a great moment, psychological moment, so it requires venting. Chazal speak about this as well. That person who's in a state of joy because of Baruch Hashem, some great simcha, so then he's going to again, then that's going to have to express itself as well. That we have to wait till she recovers, till she's able to once again bring herself back to her natural state. We let her during that 30-day period do whatever she's normally accustomed to do. If she was a Catholic, well, I don't know if they had Catholics in the Torah, I don't think so. Anyway, assuming she was a Catholic religion, Presbyterian, Baptist, whatever it was, she goes on her merry way. You don't try to convert her at that point in time. You don't try to give her a philosophic analysis of religion. And in the case of the Mishnah, but if you don't succeed, namely you weren't able to convince her to become a Jewess, so then you're not supposed to go ahead and now go take advantage of her and utilize her as a kind of servant, in a servile kind of fashion. Ram says that so even though the Torah gave him this dispensation on a one time basis, Abu became Omar Lo Shisam Ibn Tamas Asher Nisa. The Rambam here has essentially taken this parsha, and how is the Rambam interpreting this parsha? Not the way one would normally have interpreted the parsha. This Shuto Shemikra does not at all indicate what the Rambam seems to be directing himself to. The Shuto Shemikra is that we have a soldier who is on the battlefield and the throes of war, with all of the difficulty and all of the passion and all the emotions that the Torah gave the Heter, and then he goes on his merry way. The Rambam says, no, that's not the intent of the Torah when it presented the Pasha Yifas Torah. What is the Torah trying to teach us? Risun Atzmi, self-control, self-discipline, even in moments of unbelievable emotion. And the Torah clearly is not happy about this entire relationship, about the entire heter. The Torah was compelled to give, but there's an element of reka musari that they basically, what the Torah is telling the Lochem, lirasein etavoda, and to be sensitive and considerate to the shuya, to her rigashot, namely to the woman who was taken into captivity. We have to be sensitive to her emotional volatility. And this is, again, as I said, even putting aside all the other elements that are found over here. And this to me is the most striking Rambam imaginable. That not Rashi and not the Ramban, they don't mention a word of this, but the Rambam is the one who's concerned about her emotive persona, about her entire state of mind, about where she's at, what she's thinking, what she's feeling. That's what the Rambam is concerned about. That's what the Rambam says is to be derived from this pasha. How to treat a woman who is a shvuya, how to return, how to restore a ma'abad, how to give her time to his abel to go and literally mourn the fact that she was, as I mentioned, severed from her natural habitat, from her parents, from her ambience. And that was essentially, one has to take responsibility for actions that one engages me. It's an incredible Rambam. Maybe we're the most incredible Rambam Moran Ruchim that I'm familiar with. And I'm familiar with Moran Ruchim. And I've learned a lot of Rambams in my day. This Rambam is astounding. Where did Rambam get this from? No other Rishon says that I know of. No other Rishon. Most of Rishon was focused on Machlok Tanayim, Rabbalazar Akiva, focused on Ishi Gyores, Ishi Nari Gyores, discussed the Sugya. And the Rambam somehow saw in this parasha, so now I want to know where the Rambam see it. So maybe you'll suggest, take a look at the Psukim, and perhaps I would like to hear a suggestion. This has been troubling me. So it not only troubled me, it troubled my father's friend in Bracha decades ago. When I saw this Rambam and showed it to him, where did he get it from? So one might argue that he got it from the end of this parasha, the last pasuk, V'hoya lo chafatz davo. Can't go ahead and take advantage of this woman, you, as I said, tachas asher inisa. What's that lashon? Tachas asher inisa. She underwent inui. She was literally taken bashevi on a battlefield. By the way, Derech Agav, we should point out that's what the Rashi calls it. A number of times in the Mishnah, that's what the non-Jews in Rashi calls it here. Chazal say it here in the Rambam. They bring women onto the battlefield in order to lure Jewish soldiers, to entice them sexually. That was the interest. But here the pasuk says, "Lo sisa merbo takas Hashem inisa." There's a hint here that this entire process is a process of inui. Remember the lashon of the pasuk earlier in Chumash in Bereishis. Bataneh asorai batirah liponeh. A very famous rambam over there. But the lashon of inui that the Torah uses over here. So this is my father Shalom thought that perhaps this is the makor for the Rambam, this last pasuk. I don't see any other possible makor, to be quite honest with you. But apparently the Torah viewed this as an act of inui. It's an unnatural kind of activity. It's obviously not something that's ideal. The Torah clearly, not only does it frown upon this, not only does it not sanction it, the Torah clearly has, to a certain extent, I would say, disassociated itself and disavowed itself from this kind of behavior. It's absolutely behavior which is unconscionable, behavior which is absolutely almost the very antithesis of what the Torah wants. But the chiddush of the Rambam is an absolutely mind-boggling chiddush. Even in this kind of a context, where you would have thought that you are the lochamim, and you are basically the ones who are directing traffic, you can do whatever you wish. It's a kind of heshkevel. Chaos should reign supreme. Comes the Rambam says, chas v'sholem, that one has to be self-disciplined 24-7, even in this kind of a context where you have a kind of momentary heter of one act of bia, but then one has to quickly get control of oneself and one has to go ahead and then treat her almost, I would say, I don't want to say royally. I don't think she's being treated royally over here, but unquestionably with all the possible sensitivity that one can muster in the course of dealing with her. And that's an incredible statement. The reason why I say that, I don't have to give you any mishalim. I was just shown today by a Talmud of mine, Yeshiva, what is going on with the Taliban. It's just a bison shivachol yom. And what's happening over there, I follow exactly Afghanistan. That's not where my interests are in life. I'm more interested in Ramban and Ablakimala, but whatever the case is, the Taliban, again, we're talking about how they're treating the Afghanistan, who are now Bashevi. To a large extent, so that those who help the Americans and help the Brits and help all the other nations who are trying to quote one of my rabbis in Yeshiva, trying to humanize Afghanistan, give it some humanity, give it some democracy. So it's amazing. Now what happens, generally, we know. We know what happens. Shuyop ha-milchama. The Pasuk in Shoftim, the Navi says, it's all south there. So that we know. The Pasuk says, Halo yimtu yichalku shalom. The Shiva Severa. Halo yimtu yichalku shalom. Racham rachmasayim l'rosh geder. And we know that how they treat shuyot b'sheri hefker. Kimin hag hefker. All the Rishonim say it was based on psukim in Tanakh. Binyuk. Corresponding to that dastardly kind of approach comes the Torah and says, V'ayok yiseitzim l'chama. And you see b'shir b'yayit shifrastu al-chashaktabah. Don't treat her the way the non-Jewish world treats those that are taken into captivity. You're given a heter, a momentary dispensation to somehow let your taiva somehow run its course. But the Torah is telling you that ultimately this is not the approach and the following approach that the Rambam suggests is the one that one has to be sensitive to other people's sensibilities, including these individuals who are Hashemi, who have thought that there's no need to be concerned about their welfare, the Chlal, and the Rambam says, incorrect. That is a completely, totally inappropriate approach. And this Rambam to me is so striking and so resounding to me. And it's, I think, the yisod of the entire world of Ruchim and the yisod of Kol Torah Kula is to be sensitive to people's sensibilities, irrespective of the context. You know, there's a very fascinating we live in the world today. I'll do this. I'll end. Usually, I end a bit earlier because Simon goes to give the daf sheni, but he's not here. So I'll just mention that you're aware, undoubtedly, that there was a Today, the world of medicine, my brother Shlita, Hillel David, who was a rabbi in the hospital for many decades here in Eretz Yisrael in Chadera, so he told me when you're in a secular hospital, there's something called contextual ethics. And that's already, there's a fellow named Joseph Fletcher. One of the many hospitals have ethicists, but their ethics is not governed by the Torah. Their ethics is not dictated by Shulchan Aruch, by Rambam. It's dictated by what's called contextual ethics. The context dictates what the ethical system is going to be. The best example is Hannah Arendt. Arendt wrote a book called Eichmann in Jerusalem. And essentially, she defends Eichmann. Eichmann was simply carrying out that the Fuhrer, Hitler, the Marshal by Israel, simply issued orders, commands, and he carried them out. He was a good Yeki. Yekis carry out commands. They carry out the bidding of the senior officer. So she defends Eichmann. But that's not our system of ethics. Our system of ethics is an absolute system of ethics, irrespective of the context. So today, they can go ahead and what they call quality of life. In hospitals, pull plugs. My brother, Shlita, dealt with this for decades. Literally pulling plugs in Hadera, talking about Jewish patients. Because doctors say there's no point, they're not going to live. Quality of life is not there. That's ethics based on context. That's what the Rambam comes to essentially address. And that contextual ethics concept is absolutely, from our perspective, totally and completely against the Hashkafas HaTorah. And that, I think, is one of the most beautiful Rambams here in Mount Ruchim, and given the fact that no other Rishon that I know of has this interpretation. Yeah.
Which is the bigger chiddush? The one-time act that you're allowed to do, or to treat somebody with respect?
I think both are massive chiddushim.
But the Torah in many places tells us how to treat
everybody. So, but one would not have
no other place to give the okay.
That's right. That's the chiddush of this parsha. Aren't we supposed to fight the Yetzer Hara? Isn't that what every Musa Sefer tells us?
But
the whole Shari Tshuva is based on that.
Torah understands human nature. I the word b'chashakta, that realize that that is
good. Wait, your fingers are on the pulse of this issue. Maybe the main difficulty with this issue is, why did the Torah decide that daft over here, I'll be mamantin? Why? Elsewhere, the Torah tells us, lo
mamantin. Because we're humans.
I'm saying that. But even though we're humans, over chalzo, there's never this kind of a dispensation, a kind of a heter that's given, whether it's Bia Rishona or whether the simple child is not even that, but that itself is remarkable. That itself is so amazing. Almost beyond amazing, because I don't know anywhere else where, I'll give you an example. The Gemara says in Kedushin also, famous Gemara, a few times in Shas, the Gemara appears. The Gemara says a person has a Yetzer Hara to do something in Avera, probably in the sexual arena. Let him go and put dress in black and literally become all black. And then go somehow start traveling. And then what? Doesn't say. So, does he give you a head to do the Avera? Chas b'sholem. No way. Apparently, what is all this that the Gemara is trying to suggest? That hopefully, well, in the course of this travel, in the course of all the, that we should subject him to, hopefully he will calm down. Hopefully he'll get a hold of himself. Hopefully he'll become more self-contained, self-disciplined, and be able to avoid doing the Avera. Yeah, the Torah gives us an outright heter to do the Avera. Albeit on a one-time basis. Because it's against all the Sifri Amusa that are written from days of Rishonim down to Arayam Hazeh.
But even the second part, I'm saying the Midianite women were given over to go in and cause us to do Zenos, and look at how the Torah wanted us to treat them, wanted us to kill them. And here, this isn't a Kiddush, that here they were given over to cause us to sin, to cause us to Zenos, and yet the Torah is saying, want me to treat them to respect. In other contexts, we don't find that the people that were asked to treat to respect are the ones that were given over to be neutral.
Maybe it's kind of reverse psychology. The Torah tells you, yeah, you want them to. We know you can't hold yourself back. You want them to, but if you do it, you're going to have to, go through this whole process. 30 days afterwards, it's not. If it was telling the guy not to do it, he's more likely to result in you doing it than telling him you want them to do it.
But
you can have like a rabbin. Which means they'll send the rabbin, and then they won't really.
By the way, you have also, for example, another deal that comes to mind. Is the parsha that we just had in Shoftim. Minu Melech. Machomes of Mishayim, whether it's a chiyuv or it's a mitzvah, to appoint the king. It's Klishua, Navi was not happy, and he actually almost argued with Hashem's bar. So Hashem told him, no, this is what I want. This is what they need at this time. What the professor wants to call Me Too, Me Too Nix. They had iron. The Irish have a prime minister. We need a prime minister. Hashem Malkeinu, Hashem, he should be the one. Shoftainu Mechokekeinu, and the Rabbi says in Tanakh. But the point being that meaning Melech was almost as if Hashem gave in to the people. But then, okay, I'm giving in. But then there's a system. There's an entire system, how Malchus operates. It's not an Efkevel, it's not chaos. Chas v'shalom. So he also gave in. That's what you're mentioning. He gave in, but it's done with a, shall we say, clearly with a pattern of behavior. It has to be in a certain kind of way. But this Rambam to me is remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. Shekhaf. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
What's the dressing line of the Mazal said?
Because Shabbos, there's a many guards, and Shabbos is essentially black. I don't want to use the term black is beautiful. the other guy, no, but black is a sign of tears. People dress in black.